All right, so another prophet named Isaiah, found in Isaiah 43, said these words. I believe you're all familiar with it. He said, God declares, see, I am doing a new thing. Now. Let's say that to you. Say now.
Now.
All right, that's important for us to understand. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you see that God is doing new things now? It's springing up now. Yeah. It's happening now. Yeah. I just shared it earlier, even prayed into it. We know that God changes things. He's always doing new things, but God never changes. How many of you are grateful for that? God never changes. God is the same today as he was yesterday, as he always will be. We know that, says in James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He doesn't change. God never changes, and we can take hope and comfort, and we can be empowered in that reality that he doesn't change. But while he remains constant, he's always doing a new thing. God's always doing a new thing in us and through us. God is always bringing the upgrade. He's always upgrading. He's always upgrading. Can we be happy about that? I'm happy about that. He's always upgrading. Last week, I talked a bit about my career as a computer nerd in the IT industry. And back in the day, I got a couple college degrees in IT. And so, I don't know, the Lord's bringing that back from way back in the day and making some analogies for us as we're going through the book of Joel here. And we discussed last week kind of about upgrades, about upgrading apps, about upgrading operating systems. So I want to kind of jump off on that and go a little bit deeper in that, because here's how it works. Apps start off as a beta version. How many of you know that? A beta version. Here's a picture. Sometimes we see something like that. Facebook beta, you know, the beta version. What is the beta version? It's kind of still in the concept and development phase, but they want to get it out there to the public to kind of start letting them know something even bigger is coming and start get them used to the idea of using this particular app. However, after the beta version comes version 1.0, right? Version 1.0. How many of you like version 1.0? I don't know about that, because here's what we know. Version 1.0 isn't necessarily the most stable version. Not always the most stable, and problems can start to show up quite rapidly as version 1.0 meets the real world. As the real world starts using version 1.0 of an app, of an operating system, the chinks in the armor, the issues start to show themselves, and the support calls come flooding in. Well, that's kind of how it is with us, isn't it? We spend 9 months in beta version being knit together in our mother's womb, right? And then, boom, it's time for release. And we have version 1.0 that comes out, and then what happens? Okay, I'll say it this way. Eric 1.0, version 1.0. It was a few years ago that happened. Version 1.0, after the beta version, you know, getting things ready. I come out, but then quickly, everybody realized that Eric version 1.0 needed an upgrade. Because as soon as Eric version 1.0 hit the real world, the problems started to show themselves and become evident very, very quickly. Needed an upgrade. Houston, we have a problem. And Houston is Jesus. Jesus, we have a problem with Eric version 1.0. He needs an upgrade. Can you please do your glorious upgrade to this guy right now as fast as you can? And so like a computer app, we go through upgrades. We go from version 1.0 to version 2.0. We're born again. Right? Come on. Jesus shows up. He does that most important upgrade from 1.0 to 2.0, but then he's not finished with us yet. Because A good app never stops at version 2.0. Then you get version 2.1, 2.2. After a while, you're always up to version 5.0. Whoa, it's working better, more features. It doesn't crash as often. How many of you, even after version 2.0, you crash every once in a while? I know we do. But hey, keep holding on because the upgrades are coming. Finally, we're like version 10.0, 10.1. The upgrades continue to come. The new versions continue to be applied and installed in our lives through the one who did version 2.0. The same one who justified us is sanctifying us, and he's continuing his work in our lives. Can we thank God for that? So on and on, he applies the upgrades. Sometimes the upgrades are for new features and for better performance. However, other times the upgrades are to fix errors and problems and bugs that show themselves in our lives. Let's be real, right? Here's how God's word describes it. See, what I'm talking about, IT, it's very biblical. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is how God says it. You just got how I say it. Now, this is how God says it, so stick with what God says here. And God says, and we, through the Apostle Paul, says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed, meaning we are being upgraded. Hallelujah. All of us who are reflecting his glory, all of us who are born again in Christ Jesus, we are doing what? We are being transformed. We're being upgraded into his likeness, with ever-increasing glory, with new features, with better performance. We don't crash like we used to crash, right? And all of this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, version 2.0, the upgrade, biblical, 2 Corinthians 3:18. So welcome back to our series. We just started a series last week that we're calling Reset. And what we're doing is we're going through the book of Joel. We're looking at the prophetic message from the prophet Joel. The book of Joel, it's not a long book. They often call Joel the minor prophet, but I don't think Joel was very minor. I don't think the message that he brought the people of God and us today is a minor message. Rather, it's a major message, one that we need to pay attention to. And so today, as we continue our study of the book of Joel, continue the reset, I've titled the message, Don't Miss the Upgrade. Message number two in this series, don't miss the upgrade. Wake up, you drunkards. I wanted to say that all week, by the way. I was looking forward to that all week long. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Oh, isn't Joel great? I'm telling you, this is good news. Hang with it. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because of the new wine. For it has been snatched from your lips. Joel 1, verse 5. We got to remember, God's people, back in the time of Joel here, when this first was prophesied and spoken, they were going through that unprecedented fade, fading away from the ways of God, fading away from the righteousness and the goodness and the holiness of God, going back to their own ways. And they found themselves not only in unprecedented fade, but that brought them into a place of uncommon lack, where everything was falling apart. And they were in a world of hurt. It was devastation. And it was a result of turning from the Lord. It's a good picture for us, a good reminder for us. And now we're going to get more of the picture in verse 5 and through verse 12. Why was this happening? Why was there fade? Why was there devastation? Why was everything falling apart? Why was this an apocalyptic moment in the people of God? It looks like God's people had reverted back to version 1.0. That's what happened. They went back to version 1.0. How many of you know it's usually not a good thing when you try to revert back to an earlier version? You want to talk about things going from good to bad or what? I mean, it's just not a very smart thing to do. You got to keep going forward with applications and with versions. Bad things happen when you revert. And the people of God had reverted to version 1.0. Back to their old ways of living. Being intoxicated. Remember what we just read? You know, drunkards, drinkers, right? They became intoxicated with the things of the sinful world. That's what we're discovering was going on back then. Point number one this morning. There is an upgrade available. I want to make sure that we underscore that before we go any further. There is an upgrade available, and we can thank God for that. There is an upgrade available. The prophet Joel refers to this upgrade as new wine. It's in verse 5. We just read it. Joel talks about the upgrade. He calls it new wine. New wine throughout God's word represents refreshing. New wine is God's increase for his people. It's the next level. It's the fresh filling. We just sang about that this morning. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. I need the new wine. You have the upgrade for me. Fill me up with the upgrade. New wine also represents joy because that's the upgrade God has for his people. Joy, happiness that's found in him, a happiness, a joy that this world will never bring, but God will. The new wine, the upgrade. See, I am doing a new thing. Do we perceive it? You see, God has new wine for us today. He has an upgrade for us today. It's available to us today. We also know that there is a new wine, a final upgrade in the eternal age at the end of times. A final upgrade that's coming. Remember what we're doing here is we're looking back to the past as we're looking at the book of Joel. What was going on at the time of Joel when he initially prophesied this? We're looking at how the message of Joel, the prophetic message of Joel, affects us today. And we're also looking at this message, what it means for us in the eternal age, for the age to come. The past, present, and future. And here's the final end times upgrade. I want us to focus on this and to remember this always as we're going through the book of Joel. We find this final upgrade in Revelation 21. I love this passage of Scripture. I use it often when I do funerals. I think it's something that we need to keep fresh, front, and center in our minds. In Revelation 21, verse 3, here's the final upgrade. It's the final upgrade. Da-da-da-da. Anyway, the final countdown, but I was thinking about that all week. I was singing, the final upgrade. Come on, Jake, you know you love that. Yes. I'm going to hear about that later, right? And I heard a loud voice, the final upgrade. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. That's a big upgrade from what we're dealing with right now, right? The final dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Final upgrade. Listen, here's more of it. And what will happen in this final upgrade? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How many of you are ready for that? The final upgrade. It's a coming, right? There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. It's the final upgrade. There's always an upgrade. God is in the business of upgrading. And he reminds us of that as he reminds us that there is a new wine for his people. A new wine for us. But new wine requires new wineskins. I know we don't use wineskins nowadays. We use bottles and boxes and whatever, right? But anyway, new wine requires a new wineskin. In other words, to run a newer version, an updated version of an app or an operating system, you often need a new device because the old device can't handle it because it needs more dedicated resources, more horsepower to handle the upgrade. So new wine needs a new wineskin. And point number two, upgrades don't work on old systems. So there's an upgrade available. We can thank God for that. There's an upgrade available for you right now today. You know that today God has a new version ready for you. Let him upgrade your life today. Let him upgrade your life. Let that old version go. Let the upgrade come even today. So there is an upgrade available, but upgrades don't work on old systems. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Upgrades work in old people like me, but they don't work on old systems. Here's a picture of it. God's people back in the time of Joel had reverted to their old ways of living. They went back to their old way, to the old wineskin. And this cut them off. Reverting back to the old, it cut them off from the new that God had for them. And it was actually, as we read in verse 5, it's an intoxication that they had. An intoxication with the old wine, with the old ways of living. They were drawn to it. They craved the old ways, wanting to go back to it. Intoxication with sin, with lust, satisfying their immediate fleshly desires. That's what the people were going through back in the day of Joel. And it caused the new wine to dry up. Have you ever experienced that in your life? There's an opportunity in front of you, but you're so busy looking back and dealing with things of the past or even things of the present that you don't give the attention needed for the new opportunity, and you miss that new opportunity. It's gone by the time you turn back around to look for it, to grab hold of it. It's gone. It's dried up. It's disappeared. And so Joel is saying, hey, people, you're so intoxicated with the old wine, with the wine of today, with what was of the past, that you're missing the new wine. It's drying up, and you're going to weep, and you're going to wail because of that, because you missed it. You missed it. God doesn't want us to miss it. That's why he has us talking about this and looking at this right now. Because he loves us. He doesn't want us to miss the upgrade, the new wine, the next thing that he has for us. I have an old iPad. I brought it with me. Still functions. I didn't charge it up. I haven't charged it up for a long time. This is an iPad like 1.0. Original iPad version. It still looks pretty cool, doesn't it? But it's old. And it'll turn on. And it'll run a few things. But this is one thing I know about this iPad. It won't run any of the new apps. It won't run the new operating system. It's pretty much useless for the new opportunities that are available with the upgrades. It looks good, but it's useless. It's useless. Upgrades don't work on old systems. So what needs to happen to get us off the old system? We're going to continue verses 6 and 7. So let's remember where they are. They faded away from the things of God. They're finding all this lack that's going on. They're consumed and intoxicated by the old way of living. And the new wine is drying up. And we're going to see that God really wants to get their attention. So verse 6, a nation has invaded my land, powerful without number. It has the teeth of a lion, the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it away, leaving their branches white. I want to say something. I believe this is a picture that God loves his people so much that he will strip away any and everything that he has to get our attention and to draw us back to him. That's how big his love is. He doesn't want anything to prevent us from experiencing the fullness of him, the fullness of his love, and the plans that he has for us. And if there are things getting in the way, even good things, figs and vines and branches and prosperity and peace and joy, if there are even good things that are preventing us from being fully upgraded by him, he's going to strip those things away. He's going to strip them away. And it's going to be painful because it's hard to get those things that we think are so important taken from us, to see them disappear. But that's what's happening back to the people of God in the time of Joel. It's happening to them. The destruction of land was a clear message from God. Whatever comes between God and his people, he will remove it. And we need to say thank you, God, for that. We need to thank him for that. If there's anything, whether it's good or bad, bad or good, that's getting in between us and our first love, Jesus. Oh God, please. First, identify it. That's why the Lord said this is a season of reset, where he's identifying cracks in the foundation and he's helping us repair those cracks. If we don't identify those cracks and we don't repair by his grace and his grace alone, then I believe it's going to go from bad to worse. And God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. It's true of any sin, by the way. God will go to any lengths to bring us to repentance and to right relationship with him, because he doesn't want us to get ripped off from the upgrade. God doesn't want you ripped off from his plans and purposes for your life, which are to glorify him and to enjoy him now and forever, to ultimately walk with him in your resurrected body in the cool of the day on the new earth with the living God, and to enjoy all he has for you right now, not ripped off. I imagine we've all experienced a device that has gotten old. And what often happens with an old device that we have, whether it's an iPad or a phone or whatever it might be, often what happens is these old devices start to struggle, I guess, holding a charge, maintaining power enough to run the apps, right? How many of you dealt with that? Your phone, it just all of a sudden after a year or two, it runs out of juice so fast it drives you crazy, doesn't it? You want to, anyway, I won't say what I want to do with it, but this is church, so I would pray for it. I would lay hands on it. I would cast out demons, and amen. I wouldn't throw it or anything like that, because I'm a pastor. But we've all run into that. Old devices have trouble holding a charge. So point number three, power fades without the upgrade. Power fades without the upgrade. We're going to be in Joel 1. Again, let's go in verse 8. Mourn like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the husband of her youth. Can we bring that scripture up, guys? Mourn like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the husband of her youth. Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off. It just keeps getting worse, doesn't it? Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, now check this out, it's important. The priests are in mourning, those who minister before the Lord. The fields are ruined, the ground is dried up, the grain is destroyed, the new wine is dried up, and then check this out, the oil fails. So going back here, grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off, and the oil fails. Throughout the Bible, oil represents the anointing of the Lord. From Exodus 30, where anointing oil is described in detail, all the way to James 5:15, where oil is told to be used as we're laying hands on the sick and praying for them, and they will get well. Let's remember that. And they are getting well, and God is a God who still heals, and we get to see it and enjoy it and celebrate it. Amen. We discover that oil represents God's anointing. And anointing speaks of the power of God. It represents his presence that brings the evidence of his kingdom. We can see the evidence of his kingdom. We can see the power of God, the anointing of God, the evidence of his kingdom at work in our lives today. But notice the grain and the drink offerings were cut off. This is after the locusts. This is after the new wine drying up because they're intoxicated with the old. This is after, you know, the trees and the vines and the figs getting stripped and destroyed and removed. After all of that, we see grain and drink offerings cut off. What does that mean? It means that their religious worship, their ability even to interact with God, had been disrupted. That's how far it had gotten. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I imagine some of us have been in that place in our lives where we get to that place where, like, I don't even hear God anymore. I don't even sense that I'm even, like, that he's there. Things are so disrupted. The ability to come before him and submit ourselves before him. The folks could no longer fully relate to God. So the devastation was now affecting their religious system. The anointing, the presence of God, the power of God was fading in the people. Now, God's power wasn't fading, but the people's ability to be able to interact and experience the power of God, that was fading. Let's be clear about that. God, he has plenty, always will. He never fades. Today we're witnessing a disruption in our religious freedom and liberty. I want to tie this into today a little bit. Pastors are being told not to preach the Bible because it's considered hate speech. In fact, you know, we have something going on right now. You know, we're not supposed to talk about marriage and what the Bible says about marriage. We're not really supposed to, and we're being told, you know, we don't like the way that you are talking, you know, about the Bible, talking about man and woman and, you know, all this kind of, we don't like that. And what are we seeing happening? Do you know that the House of Representatives just passed this Equality Act? Do you know what the root of the Equality Act is? The root of that, the desire of that Equality Act, it sounds really great, doesn't it? Right? Well, the devil can look really great too. He can dress up, right? It's the whole purpose of the Equality Act is to restrict and do away with religious liberty and the ability of believers to be able to speak the word of God, like even just read the Bible out loud in a public place. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. So we're dealing with the same kind of thing where, as we have gone down some pretty destructive roads where we've had unprecedented fade, like we talked about last week, unprecedented fade in this nation with abortion and the redefinition of marriage and gender reassignment, all this kind of stuff that's going on, unprecedented fade that's happening. And are we surprised now that our religious liberty and our ability to interact with God is being challenged? We see it here, the time of Joel. It's not a new thing. This is how it goes down. It's how it goes down. So God shook the economic and religious system back in the day to wake the people up. And he'll do it today also if he needs to. And I believe in some ways he is doing that today. Is that a bad thing? No, it's God's love for his people. And it's his love for the lost. The lost need a church that's alive. A church that's loud, not with our own thoughts, but with the word of God. A church that's so full of love that we're willing to go out and serve and interact with people in such a real way that the lost are saved. But check this out. Unity in the church releases anointing. So anointing was failing back in the time. The oil was failing. But I want to point out that unity in the church releases anointing. When we're all cooperating with reset, what God has prescribed for his people, there is an anointing released. I love Psalm 133. I've been all over this psalm for months and months, maybe a year now. I think it's so important for the church, and that is how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters, amen, live together in unity. It is like precious oil, right? It's like precious oil. What? Not failing, but unity is like precious oil being poured out onto the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. That unity, which produces this precious anointing oil, is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Now check this out. For there, that place of unity, where the anointing is released, there the Lord bestows his blessing, his anointing even for the church today, even life forevermore, and that's his end times anointing. Right there in Psalm 133, we see a prophetic word, I believe, of even end times. The forevermore anointing of God that falls on the people of God as we are in unity, seeking Jesus, praying, crying out to him, filling up those bowls with our prayers in heaven that are going to be poured out when he returns. I think about our 360 prayer and fasting that we're doing right now. If you're not aware of that, you can get the Evident Life Church app. Go out to your app store, look for Evident Life Church, download the app, and on the app, you can do a lot of things, but you can also sign up for our 360 prayer and fasting. This is a call that God has on this church for 2019 to spend 360 days of this 365-day year praying and fasting. Bill, that doesn't mean you have to pray and fast every single day of the year. But it means that as a church, we are coming together as brothers and sisters, and we are taking the baton, and every day there is at least one, sometimes up to 10 people that are committing to pray and fast that day for the church and for God's kingdom to come in and through the church. And I'm telling you, it is in this unity that we are already seeing God move in miraculous ways. We're seeing the anointing. I don't believe it's any accident that we're getting testimonies of supernatural healing, sight restored, healing from valley fever immediately. I mean, things like that are happening. It's not an accident. It's seeking God together in unity where the oil flows. The oil, the blessing, the anointing flows. So get signed up for that. Everybody is encouraged to be part of that in whatever way you can. Finally, point number four. Without the upgrade, everything will crash. Pretty simple. Without the upgrade, it's going to crash. Verses 11 and 12. Despair, you farmers. Wail, you vine growers. Grieve for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine is dried up and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the palm, the apple tree, all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the joy of mankind is withered away. Without the upgrade, without the anointing, what happens? Everything dies. Without God's anointing, everything dies. Everything God's people held onto was removed. It dried up because the anointing dried up. It was a total system failure. The screen went dark. It wouldn't boot back up. Based on what was destroyed, look at this. The grain was destroyed. The harvest was destroyed. The vine. It looks like God's people at that time had an intoxication with prosperity, with having all the stuff they needed, being on top of it financially. I know that we don't have that issue now, thank God, right? That appears to be the issue that they had. They were fading from God and grabbing onto version 1.0, what they could create with their own hands. The prosperity that they could cause with their own hands. Self-sufficiency replaced their desperation for God to show up. And I want us to all be very careful to not let that happen in our lives. Has it happened in our nation? Yeah, in a lot of ways it has. But we can change it one person at a time by identifying if in our lives that we've allowed the self-sufficiency to replace our deep desire and need for God to show up in every way on every single day. So again, I want to make this point. This is not a doom and gloom message. This is not a doom and gloom series. And I hope you don't hear it that way, because this is about reset. This is about God making all things new and giving us a heads up with this prophetic word of the things that rip us off from the reset, that rip us off from the upgrade, and God doesn't want that, so he's just that good to say, check this out. You need to know about this. You need to have your eyes open to this because he wants us to have new wine. He wants us to have the upgrade. He wants his kingdom to come in us and through us. And so I believe the Lord wants us to ask ourselves, have we allowed something other than the Lord to intoxicate us? Just think about yourself in that. Have you allowed anything other than the Lord to intoxicate you, to captivate you, to be the first thing and the last thing that you think about every day? To be your dream. Is something else your dream, your passion? Or is Jesus? What do you really depend on? God wants you to depend fully on him. Because he's the only one that's faithful. He's really the only one that's dependable. And he's the one who pours out the new wine and that oil of anointing, still pouring it out over his people. I believe the Lord wants us to declare Psalm 23 together. He gave me that this week. So I want to put this up on the screen. I want us to speak these words together. Y'all ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Reset. Upgrade. New wine, anointing, our cup running over with the goodness of God. Amen.